Welcome to Up on Taconic, a podcast series that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I am Mr. Chiquette, and I am excited to be joined today by Ms. Willis, a reading specialist at Taconic High School, Zoli, a 10th grader, as well as Brody, a 9th grader at Taconic.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you all?
Good. I'm all right.
All right. Thank you again so much for being with us today at Up on Taconic. We are excited to talk about one of my favorite pastimes, and that is reading. It's a priority here at Taconic, and Ms. Willis has been doing an amazing job, not only with the students that she works with each day, but also educating faculty on, you know, just how to best approach and understand the basic concepts of reading. So let's get started. And Brody, if it's okay, let's start with you. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell me a little bit about your experiences with reading at home or in other places outside of school, and kind of we'll sort of keep this as a ball, you know, kind of a general blanket rule, which is that social media doesn't count in this conversation. All right.
What about articles? Like, if you've read any interesting articles?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, but I think sort of we spend so much time sometimes like thinking about social media in our daily lives. I think the idea of stepping back and talking about reading, whether it's articles or books and stuff. I know we're talking a lot about books today, but anything in that regard.
Okay. So when it comes to reading at home and stuff like that, from first grade to seventh grade, I never really liked it because when I'm at home reading, it was always usually things that I was told to or forced to read that I never, I never usually found it entertaining because, like, if it was a book that was boring that I was forced to read and that didn't entertain me or that I wasn't passionate about, it would always, like, discourage me. But when I got into seventh grade, there was a book called It that I read. It's a very long book.
Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
Love Stephen
1,161 pages.
Yeah.
If that's right.
Yeah, 68 is that right? Pages.
Yeah. 68, yeah. Yeah.
Still over 1,000 pages, right?
Still over 1,100, which is a lot. And I read that in under a month. The month of October, and I challenged my teacher. My teacher got off track, and I felt very confident once I finished it on October 31st. I had like a specific amount of pages I was supposed to read each day by myself, and I actually finished it on the 30th because at one point I got just like way too invested, and I couldn't stop reading, and that's really where my reading starts. And now in high school, It's getting a lot easier, but at the same time harder because work piles up. I hang out with friends. Back then I was going to Dalton schools while I live in Pittsfield, so it wasn't very easy to take away that time to be with friends. But now that I am taking out time to be with friends more, go outside more, it is a lot more challenging to read, and I really find it more encouraging to write, especially after I read It. I saw the amazing craftsmanship of Stephen King in the way that he wrote, and it blew my mind, and it made me want to start writing, and I write a ton now.
I have to say, I totally connect on about 7 different levels of what you said. I'm a huge Stephen King fan as well. The idea that most of the books that I think I've done over 1,000 pages have been, I just finished Under the Dome from Stephen King, which was an amazing
I've never
book
read that
as well.
One. I read The Shining. I'm going to read... when I was at camp, I didn't really like the camp. Every night I couldn't sleep since we were sleeping on cots and they were super uncomfortable. Yeah. So instead of going to sleep, I would go out on the bench and I would read Dr. Sleep by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Sleep, that's a good book, but it's kind of scary when you're out in the woods, in the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're in the middle of nowhere.
You really picked the environment for that.
Yeah. I'm at an abandoned summer camp.
Yeah, no.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I don't find books as scary as movies because what really scares me in movies is to be able to see everything in front of you. And when you're reading a book, it is very easy to like give imagery. But when I give imagery about books, it's usually like pictures, not as much like scenes in your head, you know, especially if you haven't seen any movies based on it. Like with It, I could definitely see it a lot more because I had already watched every movie for It. But like with Dr. Sleep, I know they made a movie recently, but I had not seen it. So I just a couple pictures in my head, and it actually helped me sleep more than it kept me up.
Oh, good. All right. Zoli, let's move over to you.
I started reading at home in my free time when I was very young. about the time I was in like first grade. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was a little bit older, and so she was a little bit more impatient with the kids.
Did she have like an older teaching style?
Little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was just like very, I think she ended up retiring like a year or two after. So
it was time. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she moved really fast and I found it really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like come home and I would tell my mom that I didn't like reading. Yeah. And she would not stand for that, not in her house.
Yeah. Those moments have to be really tough, too, when, you know, this should be the moment you're being inspired to read and it's going the wrong way, right?
That's about the same thing that happened where I felt like I was forced to be reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of just, like, very discouraged me. Once you're, like, let free to be a free bird and read whatever you want, or, like, one teaching method that I gave to, like, my teachers, I was, like, teaching the teacher.
Yeah.
I was, like... A way that you should do it is let people write essays about books that they wanted to read, you know, and you can just look up small summaries of the book and see how accurate they are and grade them upon how much effort they put into it, you know, everything given to them, you can like look up and then base that as a grade. And it's so much easier that way than it is just like giving a kid a book that you think, like The Magic Tree House. I did not like The Magic Tree House.
That was actually the book we were reading in my first grade class.
Oh, nope, really?
Couldn't stand it. It was so annoying. I'm like, what are these kids doing? So
great.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Did you want to add anything
yes.
else? Yeah, please.
The book my mother first like recommended me to try to read on my own outside of school was Matilda by Roald Dahl. And
mine was Flesta.
I still have the copy of the book to this day. I fell in love with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Read like basically all his other books. Was definitely the first author I really connected with.
Yeah. And finding that first book, you know, that one thing that kind of hooks you to say, okay, this is different than watching a movie. This is different. And this is a new experience and I really like it. And when you find that book, and if Matilda was it, then that's got to be a nice moment, right?
Yep. No matter how early or late, it's definitely like a life-changing moment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. Ms. Willis, how about you?
So I wish I had time to read during the school year. I don't have any time to read. And reading is like the air I breathe. And a great book is a life-changing event. I fully agree with that, Zoli. Even work-related reading, I don't know if you can identify with this, Mr. Shokhead, but during the school year, even work-related reading is really hard to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
I read at night before bedtime. Well, guess what? When I get into bed,
I had to read up on The Hunger Games. Not like the books, but we watched the movies for film appreciation, and I kind of lost where I was, so I had to retrace that, and I only started and finished the essay just yesterday at like 7:30 at night, and it was due that day.
Yeah.
Do you read in the summer?
In the summer? No, I usually spend a lot of that time outside or playing games with friends. I'm very extroverted. I'm very social.
Okay. Do you read in the summers only?
Yeah.
I do too.
Typically, when like we're driving, because we have to drive a good like 2 hours to see some of the family we have in Saratoga, New York. So typically during like that time, or sometimes on the days where it's like too hot to even go out,
I find without electronics, that's the second thing I jump to is just reading. So if I don't have service or my phone's dead in the car, I'll read. We weren't allowed to have any form of electronic at the camp, so that's why I read Dr. Sleep all the time. I read a manga series I liked. I've read like the whole series over again. It was very fun. I found it intriguing. And I find it, as people say the book or the movie is never as good as the book, I find it so much easier to get into a book if I watched something about it first, because in that case I have context, and then I can like match things up. And like I was saying before, where I only see like pictures when I'm reading, it's so much easier to like fill out scenes in your head and actually get a movie out of what you're reading.
I agree with that to a point. I don't need context. I don't need to see the movie. I'm one of those readers. I don't need the movie necessarily. And sometimes the movie is even really disappointing. Yeah. For example, I'll tell you about a life-changing book, and that's The Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
The book, not the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, once you read the book, the movie, and don't hate me for saying this, but the movie falls way into a distant second place.
Yeah.
The book, rather, is masterful.
Yeah. Almost in every case, I think I agree with that. That I also don't want to see – I want to read first, and then a lot of times I'll hold off. Even if it says it's a decent version of the movie, I really – and then if I hear that the movie doesn't do it justice, I often try to – because a book is about – what's in your mind's eye, right? And if you have a sense of what the characters are like and what they look like and what the setting is and everything, and then a mediocre movie comes in and sort of like takes the place of that, then it just kind of, it tanks the whole experience. And I think that can be really tough.
Well, back to what I was saying about how like a movie helps with context. I feel like when we get to one of our other questions, I feel like I have a great point to that where there's a book that I did read where I was given no context at all. My friend just recommended it to me, and I fell in love.
I love it.
Great. Well, let's go on to another question. And let's start with Ms. Wills on this one. Have you ever read out loud to anyone or a group for an extended period of time? And have you ever been read to through your years? And can you just tell us a little about the experience?
I will never, ever forget my father reading The Black Stallion to me before bed. I have no idea how old I was. Maybe fifth grade, maybe. But I can still hear the pages turning at night. As he sat by my bedside reading, I can hear it, and I can hear my father's voice. And my grandparents read to me, too. Both grandmothers.
The sound of pages turning is a very wonderful sound. It's like...
kind of like ASMR.
Okay. No, we're not doing that. Please.
Not again.
So uncomfortable.
We should have had a book here so we could kind of like flip the pages.
I have
the
book
microphone.
In my bag over there. I have the It book because I was going to show how big it was, but I decided not to because, you know, it was way deep in my bag. I didn't want to go through it all.
I put big books in my luggage too. I'm still that person who packs the big book in the luggage.
If you've already read a book and then you like, you can just turn to any page and you can get right back into it, that's one of my favorite things because you know immediately where you are. It's like if you've already watched a movie and you like skip to like your favorite part and watch from there, it's like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Brody, why don't we just stick with you for a second here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience being read to and reading aloud?
So other than in like school context, like for example, just today in Mr. Hurley's class, he's my English teacher. Mm-hmm. He read paragraphs to us. And that is, I don't find that to be the same amount of an example as what Miss Willis just said. Like, I can't really remember. I know she did, but I can't remember, like, my mom ever reading me bedtime stories. My dad wasn't really around to read me bedtime stories.
Yeah.
When it comes to reading out loud myself, I do not find it as easy. I did it just today, and once again in Hurley's class. But when I stutter when I read, because I can stutter very easily if I'm like having to follow something, and it just makes me so mad, and it makes me lose my flow, and I immediately stop enjoying that book because I just stopped, like my whole flow was just gone. Missing.
Sure.
And it's like if you ever watch a movie and it like lags for like 5 minutes and you can't, you're like so frustrated, and that's it just completely ruins the immersion that a book can give you. And I feel like it's so much better like in your head, because not only are you like seeing the things in your head, you're hearing everything in your head, and it's just like you're at the cinema, but it's all right there in front of you.
Right. Yeah. Nice description. Zoli, how about you?
I get that reading aloud used to make me stutter a lot, too. But I know my parents did read to me a lot when I was very little, but I don't have any vivid memories of it like Miss Willis does. What I do remember is reading to my younger brother all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3 years younger than me. So by the time I was like starting to get very into reading, he was still a little bit too young to really read by himself. And so I just whatever I was reading, whether it was like something he would be interested in as like a 3-year-old, 4-year-old or not, I would just read it to him. And sometimes he wasn't interested, but sometimes we would both get very invested in the story and we would read out loud for like hours and hours. And I feel like that built up my ability to read out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It takes stamina. It takes stamina to read out loud.
I think it also takes a lot of practice. You know, you have to really just like, it's like for everything, for sports. I used to play baseball. It takes a lot of practice. Or like with a new game, you need the tutorial. And then after a while, you catch your flow. But, you know, it's always a frustrating start. Or with bodybuilding, like I used to weigh a lot more than I do now. And I lost a ton of weight. And it took, it's a lot. It's never, nothing is ever easy, you know. You always have to put a lot in and a lot of work. And that's the same for just reading out loud. You got to like learn how to control yourself. And like Zoli was saying, if you have a ton of time spent with that, I'm sure it comes so easy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Zoli, just talking also about like the fact that you have a brother that's 3 years younger than you, gave you that opportunity. And I think like I was an only child, so there was no opportunity for me to ever be able to read out loud. And my parents just didn't, you know, they weren't into that part of the parenting, kind of the book reading and stuff was something that I had to kind of discover over time. So in some ways, I think it's nice when you can find that there's opportunity there where you actually have like a younger brother to read to and give you that practice and to allow you to do it out loud. So were you going to say something?
That reading is mental bodybuilding. It's like every time you read, like you're doing curls.
Nice. I have... 9 siblings, and I think 4 of them are 4. Was it 4? How many are younger? 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 6 that are 6 of them are younger than me, and a lot of the time that I think I would spend reading was mostly met with play, wrestling, and just playing around, being a kid. And I feel like if I did spend that time reading, it would have been a lot easier. One of them is still, I think, only like 5 or 6 now, junior, the youngest. And a lot of them, it's weird seeing your siblings get older.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Oh, my gosh. Like, especially if you don't see them for a while, because at home I live by myself. I have 3 step siblings, and then the other 6 are half. All from my dad. And when it comes to, like, seeing them grow up, especially if you're far away, like Junior, the youngest, I do not live very, he lives down in Springfield. And then I just watched, like, even older siblings, it happens. But I watched a video that my younger sister showed me of her playing with him. And I'm like, that's not the same kid. I don't know who took him, who replaced him, but it's not him.
It's a changeling. Watch out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know,
it's a skinwalker.
Do you know who else is getting older?
Don't say you. Well, no matter how old you get, I will always love the style. It's very fancy. I love the hair, too.
And we will pick up next time for part 2 of this conversation. Thanks to everybody for being here today, and thanks so much for joining us at Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And this week featured students from Taconic High School and reading specialist Ms. Willis. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in April of 2023.